It's not about bringing praise to yourself. It's not about bringing praise to yourself. Beloved, I haven't lost my place in my notes. It's not about you. It's about letting your light shine so that men will direct their praise to the Father who is in heaven.
We're so glad you've joined us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're wrapping up our series, Surprising Impact, with part two of a message titled, The Light of the World. Last time, Don highlighted the role of light bearers, aka Christians. Today, Don will focus on our responsibility. You'll get a very important reminder in the message, namely that God did not save us to have a comfortable, easy life. Rather, He saved us for the important purpose of shining our light into a dark world, pointing the way to Jesus Christ. With that in view, let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
The purpose of light is to illuminate. The purpose of light is to show forth things that are otherwise hidden by the darkness. And believers are the source of spiritual light to the world as a result of their verbal witness and the good deeds that they do that are born out of the Holy Spirit. As that verbal witness and as those good deeds go forth, they manifest the truth and the power of God. In the context of the Sermon on the Mount here, Jesus is saying, and when you think about the totality of Jesus' teaching and the Bible's teaching about these issues, here is the way that this works. And I want you to understand this. God uses your life, your words, the holy things that you do, the righteous way that you live, get this, to convict the consciences of men who know you. And He uses your life to bear witness to their conscience about the truth of His Word. And that is the way that believers provide light to men who are in spiritual darkness. Perhaps it's through the preaching of the Word. Perhaps it's through someone sharing Scripture in a private setting. Perhaps it's simply you being righteous and obedient to God in the way that you live. God uses all of that and it becomes a testimony. It becomes light to these people who dwell in the blackest of darkness within their hearts and in their surrounding environment. Now, obviously, many people reject that witness because they love the darkness more than the light. Romans chapter 1 talks about how men suppress the testimony of their conscience so that they can pursue life free from the demands of God. But beloved, understand this very important point. The rejection of men does not mean that the light is not shining. Stated differently, stated in a positive sense, the light shines whether men receive it or not. That's why Jesus can say, "You are the light of the world." It doesn't depend on the reaction of men. Your life, your godly life, you as a believer in Christ are the light of the world. And if you think about it, you can understand that. When I was stuck in that basement, in the darkness of that room, a worker eventually came with a flashlight and led us out of there. Now, his light was real and it was powerful. And it would have been real and powerful even if I had closed my eyes shut tight and put my hands over it and said, "I don't want to see this." His light, that didn't affect the reality and the usefulness of His light. It's the same way for believers as the light of the world. Men may reject the light. Men may reject your testimony. Your family may refuse to hear what you have to say to them. But that's not an indication that you're not functioning as light in that circumstance or in that context. The light shines whether people open their eyes to it or not. But we praise God for the fact that there are some who will heed that testimony as God works in their hearts. We praise God that the light from Christians points many in the direction of the Savior, and the people respond to that testimony as God uses our lives to work in theirs. And what I want to do as we're thinking through this, it's very heavy on my heart for you not to restrict the scope of what God is talking about here, or the scope of what God, the way that God could use your life by restricting it and thinking that, well, this is just for the professional theologians or the professional pastors or whatever. Now, don't underestimate how much darkness God can dispel with just a tiny amount of light, because the power of this witness is energized by the Holy Spirit, not your cleverness, and he can use the simplest of means. I would guess that if many of you thought back on your own conversion, think about this. Some of you are having to think back a long, long way. Some of you not so far. But think back on your own conversion and remember some of the things that God used to convict your conscience and to convict you of your sin and to point you to Christ. I would venture to say that for many of you, it was something, there were simple things that people did offhandedly that they weren't even thinking about that exposed your darkness. I know that was true for me. Many years before I was saved, I knew a Christian girl. She thought I was a Christian guy. It wasn't quite that way. I think she probably figured it out pretty quickly. We spent a brief amount of time together, and one day we were at a ball game together, and I was kind of passionate about the ball game, and my team wasn't winning. And I used some foul language to express my disappointment with my team's lack of skill and success. And she looked at me, and with the kindness of a true believer in her voice, she said, "You don't have to talk that way." I was convicted by that profoundly. Outwardly, I blew off what she said. I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, whatever. Inwardly, profound thoughts came to my mind to the effect of, "That's right. That's right. My speech dishonors God. I'm guilty." And my whole perception of my status before God was influenced, and the ship was taken off course by her simple statement that you don't have to talk that way. Holding up a simple standard of righteousness before my sin, that little bit of light exposed the darkness that was in my soul. What she said at that time wasn't enough to save me. It wasn't until others brought the gospel to me that I was able to truly respond to Christ. But it was enough to show me one aspect of my sin and to set me apart from some of the self-righteousness that animated my arrogance at that time in life. Beloved, you probably know some of that from your own experience. And what I want you to do now is, if you know that from your past experience and you bring it forward into your life now as a believer, is to understand and to trust God, trust the power of the Holy Spirit for the realization that He can use the simplest acts of your faithfulness to shine the light of His holiness. It makes everything that we do transcend to a matters of eternal significance as we obey moment by moment and the light shines forth from that. You don't have to calculate this effect and say, I'll be holy here before this unsaved guy because maybe... No, it's not like that. You just selflessly and without regard to your own self, just live in obedience to God, manifest the characteristics that God expresses in the Beatitudes, and you can know that God is going to use you as light to shine light on the darkness in your circles of influence. Doesn't depend on you being a Bible study leader. Doesn't depend upon you being a prominent person in the church. It's tied to character. It's tied to the kind of character that Jesus expressed in the Beatitude. That's what he uses. So, beloved, you be humble. You be faithful. Don't look for prominent roles. Just be humble. Just be faithful. And trust Jesus' word when he says, as you live this way, you will be the light of the world. So that's our role. It's to be the light of the world. We have that role. That light rests not in ourselves, but because we have been joined to Christ and have lives that have been transformed by him. That's the reality that Jesus affirms here. Now let's go back to the text here in verse 14. Because Jesus uses a couple of illustrations here in verses 14 and 15 to make his point more vivid to those who would hear him. After he said in verse 14, "You are the light of the world," he gives two illustrations. He says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor," verse 15, "does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Jesus is here in these two verses now, is working out the implications of what he had just said. He's using illustrations to show what that role means for the lives of his disciples. A very picturesque choice of illustrations that he uses to help us understand the inevitable nature of the fact that true believers will be light to the world. Verse 14, he says, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." Reinforcing here, Jesus is, the importance of being different, the importance of being observable. Ancient towns were often built of white limestone, they tell me, and they gleamed in the sun. They could not be hidden. At nighttime, the city inhabitants would light their oil lamps, and that would shed a glow around the surrounding area, even in the darkest of night. Here's the point. By their very nature, such cities could not be hidden. Jesus is saying, my disciples have a nature which by its very characteristics, inherent to it is the fact that it will stand out in the spiritual darkness. It's inevitable. That is the way that it works. A world that is set against Christ and hates him and crucified him is going to be different from people who love him and adore him and worship him and proclaim him. The distinction cannot be avoided. Now, in a similar way, look at verse 15. This is almost humorous in the way that Jesus expresses it. He says in verse 15, "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Jesus, in the utter simplicity, the utter brilliance, the utter genius of the way that he teaches, sometimes I think that genius is best expressed in being able to express profound truth in simple terms, not to write complex 500-page tomes that no one can understand. The mark of a true genius is to be able to take a complex idea and express it in ways that people can understand. Jesus was the ultimate genius in that way. Jesus talks about a lamp, and at a very simple level, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf, as some people like to say, Jesus is saying the very nature of a lamp is to give light. That is the purpose for which it exists. And here, the picture is of a lamp put on a lampstand in a house long before the advent of electricity. And Jesus has this picture of putting a lamp out on a lampstand. Everybody says, of course, that's what you do. A lamp provides light to those who are in the room. And then he takes this absurd possibility of someone lighting a lamp, someone in their right mind lighting a lamp, and then draping it with something that prevents the light from being emitted. Jesus says, this is absurd. No one would light a lamp and then cover it up. The role of a lamp is to give light. You don't cover that up. And by implication, by illustration, he's saying, you, believer in Christ, I've lit you. I've lit you to stand out. I've lit you to shine in a dark world, a spiritually dark world. That is your role. That is your purpose. A city on a hill is visible to all. A lamp gives light to all. Now get this. Jesus is using those simple illustrations to tell you why you exist as a believer in Christ. Here's the reason. God saved you so that you would be a light to a dark world. We are very privileged to be under the sovereign care of a God who loves us and cares about every detail of our lives. Every hair on our head is numbered, Jesus says later in the Sermon on the Mount. But there are some Christians who approach Christianity in such a way that they make God helping them through life the sole end of their salvation. When you talk to them, they're just talking about how God helped them with their housing situation, or God helped their niece, or God did this to help them financially, or all of that. And the more that you talk to them, there's a sense in which, and I'm just beginning to understand why that's troubled me for so many years, you start to say, man, is Christianity just about what God does for you? About God helping you get through life with the minimum amount of inconvenience? I'm sorry, but that is just sick. That's the wrong way to think. That's a very immature way to think. God saved you, beloved, and as part of that saving work, He graciously works in the circumstances of your life. He graciously hears your prayers about your cares and anxieties, and He cares about you. Praise God for that. But that is not the end of it. That's not the fulfillment of the purpose of you being saved. Jesus makes it really clear here that He saved you so that you would be a light to a dark world. It's not about you using God to make your life better. It's about God using you to make someone else better, to expose them to the light of the gospel, for them to see the reality of God, for them to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a means to an end. You're not the end in yourself. That's really fundamental, but it is profoundly important. God saved you to be a light to a dark world. That's what Jesus is saying here. You're the light of the world. You can't cover that up. I wouldn't light a lamp and then just put a cover over it as if that light was self-sufficient and that was the light existed for itself. Light exists for something else. You exist for someone else. That's why God saved you. A true Christian understands that and embraces it as his life purpose, beloved. It would be absurd, a ridiculous contradiction, an oxymoron to think any other way. Going further, it would be ridiculous to try to cover that up and hide your Christian testimony. There are some people who claim to be Christians, but they refuse to talk about their faith. They say, oh, that's a private matter between me and God. This passage that Jesus is saying here gives the lie to that attitude. Someone who thinks like that, I would say, probably is not a Christian, because they are denying the reality of one of the main purposes that God saves men to begin with. God saved you to be a light. God saved you to be salt. God saved you to have influence on the darkness that surrounds you. The thought of saying, I'm a Christian, but that doesn't have anything to do with anyone else, is ridiculous. Our brother Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, said the true Christian does not even desire to hide his light. He sees how ridiculous it is to claim to be a Christian and yet deliberately try to hide the fact. A man who truly realizes what it means to be a Christian understands that ultimately God has done this in order that he may influence others. The true Christian is a man or a woman who cannot conceal it. Not only that, he does not want to conceal it, because he says, ultimately, the purpose of it all is that I might be a light to the lost. End quote. That's exactly right. So just like a lamp is intended to give forth light, so your Christian life is meant to shine forth in holiness and in testimony to God's word, so that you would be a light in a darkness. That's your role. That's why God has saved you. It transcends you. It goes beyond the boundaries of your life. Do you understand that? Honestly, do you understand that? It's not primarily about you. It's about what you are supposed to be to the world around you. Which leads us naturally into our second point. Talked about the role, now the responsibility. The role is being the light. The responsibility is shining the light. Look at verse 16 with me. We'll have to go through this rather quickly. Jesus says in verse 16, he says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus here in this verse is giving a command which serves as a climax to everything that he said in these four verses. Since his disciples are the light of the world, they are now exhorted to let that light shine and accomplish its purpose. Don't hinder the light. Don't cover it up with sin. Don't cover it up with worldliness. Be holy, be godly, be a man and woman of the Beatitudes, and let that light shine. Let it go forth out of your life. That's the idea. To let your light shine is to live in such a way that you manifest the presence of the kingdom of God here on earth. What is this light by which disciples lighten a dark world? To belong to the kingdom of God means that you reflect the standard of the kingdom through your life, through your good deeds, including your testimony to the word of God revealed in Scripture. Look at what Jesus says in verse 16. "Let your light shine so that they may see your good works." It's a command. And for no doubt all of us at one point or another, a rebuke. But let me work out one particular implication of this as we close. God saved you to use you. That is a responsibility. It is also an ennobling recognition. Beloved, as you go forth this week and you have opportunity to live for Christ, or even more so, when you encounter opposition to your spiritual life in whatever form that opposition takes, let this passage encourage you to persevere, give you the courage to do the right thing. Do the right thing despite the opposition, because it is your purpose, it is your calling. The dark world doesn't get to tell you to silence that. You are under command from God. Be this way. Let the light shine, and men do not have the right or the prerogative to tell you to do anything different. It is your calling. And therefore, you look at this verse and you rise to the task. You be strong and you be very courageous as you pursue it. And as you do that, let this passage also supply the right motivation for you. Look at the end of verse 16. This is so, so crucial. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works," and here's the end of it, "and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Why do you let your light shine? So that people would commend you for being a spiritual giant? Commend you for your holiness? Pfft. No. No. What we want as we live this life is not, we don't want any recognition for ourselves at all. We want, in the words of the hymn writer, "May they forget the channel, seeing only Him, glorifying Him, saying, that person has a great God, that person has a holy God, that person has a saving God." That is what we want. God, give us help to that end. We live this way so that at least some men will recognize us as followers of the true Christ and come to praise our Heavenly Father in the process. It's not about bringing praise to yourself. It's not about bringing praise to yourself. Not about bringing praise to yourself. Beloved, I haven't lost my place in my notes. I want you to get that. It's not about you. None of this is about you. It's about letting your light shine so that men will direct their praise to the Father who is in heaven. Beloved, all of this takes your spiritual life, flawed as it is, and puts it into perspective. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Don't be lazy, and don't be intimidated into silence. Let your light shine with confidence that God will bless it to His glory. Be encouraged, beloved. The omnipotent God of the universe saved you to use you. So let that light shine till Jesus comes.
Both our role and our responsibility of being light in the darkness are, in fact, privileges. We serve a magnificent God with an eternal kingdom on the horizon. And so we've concluded our series, Surprising Impact. Pastor Don Green will have more important teaching from God's Word next time here on the Truth Pulpit, so don't miss a moment. But before we go, Don, any final thoughts on our just completed series?
I guess I'd put it this way, Bill. You know, my friends, this surprising impact that we have as Christians is not Jesus commanding us to do something, but it is His description of reality. He says that as we walk humbly with Him through His Word, prayer, and Christian fellowship, that He will use us in ways that go beyond all that we could ask or think. It's a wonderful privilege to be a Christian, and Christ says He uses us to affect the world.
Thanks, Don. And friend, remember to visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.